Chapter 45. Davin sat on the couch, next to the livid Queen, the scowl on her paling face deepening with every word that marched out of Duke Longford's mouth in a halting cadence. The Duke had indeed come to lay his soul bare, and for all his treasonous trespasses against his nation, Davin could at least respect that when their circumstances had turned for the worst, he'd had the courage to come forward. Duke Longford was shocked to see the bloated visage of his brother on the floor, and even more surprised about Olivan's service to the primal water. This confirmed to Davin that the plots against Bittermarch and the Eternal Flame were separate endeavours. Whatever the case, the Longfords were indeed ambitious people, and complicit in all of it.
"The plan," the Duke continued, "was for me to stabilise Bittermarch after your death and that of your successor. I would then take the weapons we purchased and the men at our command and put a quick end to the war. We had bargained with Cretus to allow them parts of the south, though I had no intention of letting them actually have it."
The Queen's eyes burned.
"And so you are saying now that Cretus not only has an army to the south, but one to the north, armed with our weapons, paid for by several prominent families from the north?"
The Duke swallowed, hands trembling on his lap.
"Yes, Your Grace. We went to recover the weapons from the various locations where we had secreted them, and they are gone. With our armies deployed to the south, we are in grave danger."
"That I knew," the Queen returned, voice severe. "I want the names of the conspirators, all of them."
"Please," Duke Longford begged, "do not make me sink so low as to be an informant on my peers. It is beneath my honour."
Davin stood.
"Beneath your honour? You plot assassination and treason against your queen and your nation, and giving up the rats of this conspiracy is beneath your honour?"
The Duke paled.
"We believed our actions in the best interests of Bittermarch. We felt you had taken too much control, Your Highness. You disbanded our ducal militias in favour of a national force directly under your control. You sided with the House of Light on almost every issue. Our way of life was threatened."
"Names?"
the Queen demanded.
"No,"
Duke Longford said, straightening in his chair. Davin strode over and hauled the Duke up to his feet by the lapels of his coat.
"By the flame, Duke Longford, I care not for you or your treasonous friends, but speak to me now and tell me that Arianne Hightower knew nothing of this scheme."
The Duke swallowed hard.
"She knew nothing."
With a push, Davin dropped him on his chair. The Queen closed her eyes in relief for a moment before affixing them on the Duke again.
"At least tell me this. Are the names Justice Page reported in open court accurate?"
"Yes,"
the Duke said, face defeated.
"They are."
"And what of the extinguishing of the Eternal Flame?"
the Queen pressed.
"What do you know about that?"
"I swear on my life that I knew nothing of it. I had no idea of my brother ever being the servant of primal water."
Queen Philippa exhaled, and the strength with which rage had imbued her fled. Her face turned weary and wan.
"Well, I guess we can all be grateful that the weapons you so stupidly let fall into the hands of our enemies won't work at the moment, though if the Eternal Flame isn't restored, who wins or loses this war won't matter in the least. Winter will kill us all. Under Sheriff Higgins?"
The Lord High Sheriff's second-in-command waited by the door and strode into the dimly lit drawing-room, casting a glance at the sheet under which rested the body of his former leader. Higgins was lanky and tall, more intellectual in character than the man he once worked for.
"Yes, Your Grace. Find a deep hole and stick Duke Longford in it. Don't throw away the key, but I wouldn't mind if you lost it for a while. You will have a lot of work to do in the coming days rounding up some important people."
"And don't forget," Davin added, "to have the courts clear Lady Hightower's name first thing tomorrow."
"As you wish," the Undersheriff said with a bow. "Duke Longford, come with me, please." "I am sorry, Your Grace,"
the Duke said, shoulders hunched.
"This was my scheme, my error in judgment. Be lenient with those that I persuaded to join in this folly."
"Begone,"
the Queen growled. The room fell silent as the once proud Duke Longford left in disgrace and under guard. Davin shook his head and rubbed his burning ribs.
"With your permission, I will reconnoitre north of Belshire tomorrow, my Queen. I can do it faster than your scouts."
The Queen nodded.
"Take your rest tonight, Davin. Have you sustained some wound?"
"I am well enough to travel,"
he said, though his ribs didn't fully agree.
"I think not,"
she replied. Have the doctor look at it before you go. If you aren't fit, then I will send others.
Her eyes searched the darkness around her, the blue moss providing poor light.
Now where did that walking stick get off to?
I will assist you, Davin said. You should take your rest. The morning light will bring better fortunes, I hope. She grunted, and Davin pulled her from the couch, careful of her left arm, which hung in a sling. She shuffled awkwardly, seeming so frail, eyes dull and tired.
Just get your bearings for a moment, Your Grace, he admonished. You've had quite a shock to body and soul. If my ribs didn't ache so badly, I would carry you.
She smiled.
King Ostris used to enjoy carting me around. He would always try to catch me unawares and pick me up. He was a hearty man, even more than you. But you are like him in many ways, Davin. The good ways.
Thank you, Your Grace. That is high praise indeed. They stepped out into the pitch black of the hall, two soldiers falling in behind them as they picked their way toward the Queen's chambers, with only the blue light to guide them. As they neared the door, the Queen faltered, and Davin scooped her up. His ribs protested, and he sucked air through his teeth. She was lighter than he anticipated, however, and the burden proved little inconvenience once he had her settled. The Queen's tired eyes fought to stay open.
You love Ariane, don't you?
She said, voice woozy and distant.
I do, he said.
She smiled.
Good, good. Just as it should be. She will need you a great deal in the coming days. Help her, Davin. Marry her soon. Promise an old woman that you will do it.
I will. She exhaled and the tension drained from her, her face falling into peaceful repose. A soldier opened the door to her room and Davin took her inside. Davin said, I will send for your lady's maid to prepare you for bed.
No, she said, just put me in bed and cover me up.
Davin placed her slight frame on the mattress, wrangling the blankets until they buried the old monarch in warmth. He retrieved the glowing moss from her hand and placed it on the table next to her.
Thank you, Ostris,
she said, eyes shut and face slack.
He is good, just like you.
Davin smiled, dreaming of her husband.
Don't wake me for breakfast, dear,
she continued, voice weak and distant.
I want to sleep in.